Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hi, welcome back, everyone, to Faking Movies. This is going to be episode the number 23, not the movie. We are pretty deep now. We're approaching our 6-month anniversary, guys. What do you want to get each other?
Oh man, I'm not kidding.
What is the 6-month anniversary? Like, isn't there one that's styrofoam and one that's wood and
6 months is melted styrofoam, but like you know when you just put a lighter and make it hot and then you press it into something and it leaves that like design?
Yeah, I just want the fumes, honestly.
I thought it was like you talk about getting a dog and then everybody considers like, do I really want to be in this anymore? I don't know.
Bleak.
Yeah. Pretty dark. Well then I guess while it lasts, you guys should subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Nice.
And our Instagram and our Twitter, and check out our WordPress.
Good news, listeners, because we're getting a dog together.
Yeah.
Or not. Apparently, or not.
Well, we have to find out if the rest of us will all be good parents. That's how it works, I think. Uh-huh.
Which one of my three dads is going to be...
Oh, shit, we're in our own movie. You nailed it.
Yeah.
which dad am I? Am I the fiscally responsible dad, or am I the, like, broken-down alcoholic dad?
You know, I honestly don't remember that movie at all.
I remember that Ted Danson's character was, like, a washed-up actor.
Mm. Ooh, I want to be Ted Danson.
It's decided.
All right.
And we would all get to meet Leonard Nimoy.
Oh.
What?
Space Lord. Because
he directed it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Right, he did do a bunch of weird movies. Yeah, he is super dead.
He also directed my favorite movie of all time.
In the same year.
Oh,
whoa.
Weird.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Huh. Wow.
That's some serious business.
Yep,
mm-hmm. That's a career year right there. Most people would kill for those two movies. So,
yeah, I know I would.
Yeah,
I know I would.
All right. Well, this week we got Seth. Seth, you want to kick us off with movie and actors and all that business?
Yeah. So, the movie that you guys assigned to me was called Armed and Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is starring John Candy, famous for Wagons East,
his final movie, which they released well after his death.
It's kind of a bummer. It went into like production hell for a while. It's kind of a sad story, actually.
Movie that I own on DVD.
Oh. Sad.
Why?
Why? I don't know. I don't know why. I've never even opened the shrink wrap.
I've got a lot of those, yeah.
You could sell it. You could probably sell it on eBay for, I don't know, 1,000 doll hairs.
That might be a little steep. It's not a good movie. I have seen it. So.
Well, I mean, yeah. But,
yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Our ripped John Candy.
Yeah, so we have Armed and Dangerous with John Candy,
Grey
Eugene
Cup
Levy.
Champion John Candy.
Okay, well.
All right.
My actors are John Candy, Eugene Levy, Meg Ryan, and Robert Loggia.
Mm-hmm. Robert Loggia.
Yep.
Loggia.
A piece of shit as always.
Perhaps he isn't a piece of shit in my movie.
Ooh, I gave too much away.
Interesting.
Is he a piece of shit in Independence Day? I feel like he's a good guy in that movie.
He's the only competent person in the military, I believe, right? Isn't he like the
Yeah, he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
Chiefs, yeah, right.
He and just then looks like a real piece of shit.
Yeah, because it's Robert Loggia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
they
movie
trotted him out for the sequel. They wheel him onto a stage in a wheelchair, and he really looks like ill. I was actually afraid for his welfare.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's a real bummer.
Is Robert Loggia still alive?
He may have died very recently.
Yeah.
I buy it. I buy it.
Well, R.I.P. Robert Loggia.
Probably.
Rip Loggia.
Yep. Just like that movie, R.I.P.D., starring Ryan Reynolds. And
oh, God.
And not Robert Loggia.
And well, not... Probably. And old guy, not Robert Loggia. Okay, so do you guys want to hear my excellent version of Armed and Dangerous?
I would love that.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, and also, dear listener, this is probably the one that I thought out the best. Now, let's see if that translates from the notes I wrote to the podcast. So we'll see how that goes.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so this is going to be kind of a screwball comedy, but okay. Only kind of. So
I mean, the cast really lends itself to that. So.
Yeah, it does. Yep. So that's why I kind of had to go with that. So John Candy and Eugene Levy are detectives investigating a rash of crimes all over some major Midwest city. It could be Milwaukee or Chicago or I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's somewhere in the Midwest so those farmers will feel comfortable watching the movie.
Hey, there we go. All right.
Ugh.
Bringing them back.
I think
something,
it should be
something in the big city.
I think it should be Chicago because then Eugene Levy and John Candy could mention the second city a bunch and wink at the camera.
Oh.
I do like that. I do like that mugging to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I was thinking Cincinnati just because I want
the Queen City.
Yeah, Nasty Natty.
As they say?
They do.
Do they?
Yeah. Do they?
Yeah. I do like it. I mean, that's better than
everyone
Cincinnati,
I know from
certainly.
Everyone I know from Ohio calls it Nasty Natty.
Mm.
Okay, well, that's all right. Then it takes place in Nasty Natty.
Perfect.
And that'll be for reasons that become evident later, because the big city is important for a number of reasons.
Okay,
so the crimes that Candy and Levy are investigating are like B&Es at hardware stores where the hardware supplies are later used in other B&Es, and of course, like laboratories and large-scale manufacturing and all sorts of things are getting, you know, robbed. There's even a couple murders. I think. Sometimes poisonings.
Okay.
Or apparent poisonings.
Sure.
Sometimes stab wounds, sometimes gunshots, you know, whatever. Whatever you feel like.
So the whole gamut, yeah.
Yeah. And we spend like half of the movie with Candy and Levy trying to gather clues and hilariously screwing up basic police work. You know...
it's a real Keystone Cops kind of situation.
See, I don't get that reference.
It's a silent film. They're cops and they're bumbling, and you know.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
yeah. We can cut that out.
Not worth the trouble.
Yeah, but they're
it's
just
a valid reference.
All right, whatever you say. But the one thing that links all of the crime scenes is there's this mysterious black residue.
Oh.
Okay. So, you know, Candy and Levy are, you know, bumbling and goofy, and, it's just the sort of thing we expect from these two actors, right?
Yep, yep.
Knocking things over, contaminating crime scenes, and you know what? It's kind of odd that these two detectives are actually on this kind of important-seeming case, because they seem really incompetent.
Oh, it's a regular Hudsucker proxy.
Come on, man, what are you doing?
Shit, start over.
Barton Fink! Barton Fink!
No. I gotta hold on. I gotta go return this dog. I'll be right back.
Oh. Okay, so our crew eventually, you know, takes some samples of this black residue and takes it to a high tech, but 80s high tech research company for analysis. And that's because none of the forensic teams at the police department will work with our boys anymore because, you know, they're pretty incompetent.
They're idiots.
Can you do that as a forensic team? Just be like, nah, fuck those guys. I'm out.
Yeah, in a movie you can.
An 80s cop movie, you absolutely can.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, and, like, I was thinking that at this point, they'll try to, like, sneak into this company somehow, like, pretending to be foreign investors or something.
Oh, like, that it's right in their wheelhouse for, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still done incredibly incompetently.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're going to try to, like, pretend like they are foreign investors in order to get into this weird company whose name I never came up with.
Sure.
And so this company is owned by Robert Loggia, of course. Mm-hmm. And his office has, like, one of those weird rat maze things like Jack Palance in Tango and Cash.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a spoiler. That's a much better movie than Armed and Dangerous.
Uh-oh.
Are
you saying that Jack Palance is more menacing than Robert Loggia?
No, I'm saying that Kurt Russell is more of a leading man than Eugene Levy, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeesh.
You're on solid ground there, I think. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so I said that Candy and Levy are foreign investors. Let's say Germans, because it seems like... So they'd be like,
can they be Polish? Yeah!
Oh, well, I don't know how to do a good Polish accent, but I can do a good German accent.
I'm just really glad you didn't pick, like, Chinese, because, oof. I mean,
also
it would have fit in the 80s,
like something
but,
they would do.
Yeah, for sure.
I think German is probably the good default. Because they can be like, oh, yeah, Robert Loggia, perhaps we should come to your company and invest in it, yeah?
We'll bring our model of German efficiency to your, mouse company? I don't know what he's making yet, so
yeah,
he said
well,
he's a mouse.
He does some kind of science. I do not know what kind.
Every time I hear that accent, I feel like every sentence should end in Lobotsky.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have this horrible company. And so we get a tour of the facilities. We see all sorts of 80s tech, like lasers and
giant computers.
Fog.
I had written down room-sized computers.
Yeah.
Like spitting out shitty dot matrix printouts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lots of beep boop. Yep. Sounds computers dead.
These numbers just don't add up.
It's like animal testing labs and oscilloscopes and some kind of weird pharmaceuticals thing.
Yep.
You know, typical 80s tech.
Yeah.
Reaganomics provided.
Well,
so
you're on
the
some
thing
themes.
Is,
I'll give you a. I'm giving you a hint here. You're hitting on some real themes.
Uh oh. Okay, so we linger a little longer on the animal labs than the other places, but not in a way that's, you know, perceptual by the viewer. We just kind of like linger a little bit longer on them.
Okay.
And in that lab, we see lots of aquatic tanks and a Meg Ryan type played by Meg Ryan as a scientist.
Go figure.
I mean, if you're going for a Meg Ryan type, there's that no works. One better.
Mm. Yeah.
She's yeah, that's clear.
Usually the top of the list. Yeah.
Yeah, usually. So, Meg Ryan is the head of R&D for this company. And of course, both Candy and Levy fall head over heels for her. And they, you know, compete with each other to vie for her attention, even though they just met her and there's no real impetus for any of this. But, you know, it's a 80s tedious romantic subplot.
Oh, yeah.
But Meg Ryan doesn't even try to pretend that they're foreign investors.
Like, okay.
It's obvious that they're incompetent John Candy and Eugene Levy.
So she's just like, the fuck are you guys doing? What's this whole thing?
Yeah, and as soon as Robert Loggia leaves, like, they start to talk more and more. And I haven't really thought out a bunch of these scenes, but I'm sure that there are going to be some laboratory hijinks.
Oh, yes. Animals escape, run wild, that kind of...
Yeah, like knocking over test tubes and starting
letting
fires.
Letting animals out of cages by accident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the way to go.
Yep.
So eventually the two bicker, or the two boys bicker with each other, like we should, and we see some second act fallouts, because, you know, it's a typical style. And
so
then,
what brings them back together?
Well, I'm getting there. Damn, dude, come on. Let me tell a fucking story.
It's gotta breathe a little. Come on.
Well, they gave the sample to Meg Ryan, so she's analyzing it, and then they each get a call from Meg Ryan saying that they should meet back up, but they're separate because, you know, they've been having a fight, and so they're not talking to each other anymore.
Yep.
And,
can you send, like, a winky face and an eggplant to someone?
You have to do it in real life. You have to just wink at them and hand them an eggplant, I think. Yeah. It's way weirder.
I think Eugene Levy would pull that off.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they each assume that Meg wants them to meet up individually so they can do some smooching.
Ooh.
And they both show up the lab with, like, candies and flour and other bullshit. And they enter the building and they're both grabbed by guards and brought to a large office, and we see Robert Loggia standing there. And then I have some quotes that I wrote down.
Wow.
You two have become too much of a nuisance, and we need to eliminate you. You've gotten too close. Even though they totally came to this company through sheer luck and the fact that it was the biggest high-tech firm in town, but not through actual police work. They just kind of accidentally showed up here.
Yep.
And then we hear a garbled, disembodied voice somewhere that says, "Hold up, Robert." And then we have a reveal.
Because his name is Robert Loggia.
Yeah, in my movie.
Playing himself.
Yep.
Why not? It's super villain. Yeah, it works.
Yeah. I guess you want to know what this is all about, eh? Robert's just the money man. So it turns out that Robert Loggia paid off the police department to keep these two bumbling detectives on the case so that they would never end up getting caught.
Yeah.
But, says disembodied voice, we didn't expect you to actually find anything out. Then, let's see, what do I have in my notes? It gets really confusing here. Both Candy and Levy are, like, protesting, and they're like, oh, we're kind of fuck-ups, and we aren't really good at this. Well, no matter, says the disembodied voice. As I said, Loggia's just the money man. I'm the brains behind their operation. And we have a James Bond-style Meg Ryan
chair spin,
yes. And she's stroking an octopus curled in her lap.
Yeah, love it.
It turns out that black residue was ink.
Oh, and, sure enough.
Wait, so no one was able to figure out that was ink the whole time?
Like, it was the 80s. Well, all you could do was taste it.
Like,
They didn't have spectrometry or
Yeah,
you just had to smell it and scratch it and taste it. Yeah, and if that didn't help, you're fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know, you guys. I tried to put it in my butt, and I still don't know what it is.
That's not one of the three. Well, you know, diversity.
Well, let me finish my story. I'm so close to the end.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it turns out that Meg Ryan was an evil scientist and a genetically engineered octopuses or octopodes or octopodes or octopi.
Isn't it just octopi?
However we want to say it.
Fourth time's a charm, yeah.
No, it actually isn't, because it's a Greek root instead of a Latin root. pus being a Greek word, so the plural declension would be odes, not e. But that's neither here nor there. And there's a stress shift and all sorts of shit happens. So, like, Octopodes is probably the most accurate. But I don't know.
I was hoping we'd land on that because that sounds dope as hell. That's so cool sounding.
Meg Ryan genetically engineered these Octopodes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. To commit all of these crimes in order to complete her supervillain plan. And I didn't really figure out what the plan was. It's not really important.
Turns out, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a comedy cop movie, nothing really matters. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure Candy says something like, "Wow, with all of these octopuses," he says incorrectly.
Sure.
"You really are eight-armed and dangerous."
Oh, fuck, yes.
You son of a bitch.
How did we not see that coming?
Oh man.
You piece of trash. You dirty motherfucker.
It was right in front of us the whole time.
It's true.
I feel it's like true. John Candy finding out about the plot now.
Like. Yeah, that was great.
After this eight-armed and dangerous line, there's a fight with some goons and, you know, the normal resolution where Candy and Levy become friends again and Meg Ryan ends up cornered and is falling into a vat or something, and they both try to save her, and she falls away.
Into ink.
Ah, a big vat. What? Why? What? Okay, yeah, sure. She falls in a big vat of octopus ink.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Uh huh. Yep. Yeah. Well,
it's too dense. It pulls her in. It pulls her down.
Yep. It's quicksand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, there's like a slow mo, like. Picture of Eugene Levy and John Candy's faces as she falls in horror.
Yep.
And then we fade into a ceremony where they're both getting detective awards.
Oh, wait, is Chewbacca standing behind them? But he doesn't get one.
Quiet, R2!
Oh my! I can't bend my arm completely. Has that ever bothered you guys that arms are always crooked?
Well, and then you think about the actor that had to fucking be in that thing the whole time. That
was
awful.
Anthony Daniels, poor man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, they have swords made of light, but they can't make a robot who has fully extending
full
arms.
Full articulation. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, a protocol droid probably doesn't need to extend his arms so fully, but like
he doesn't need it. That's but true. Like, why not do it?
Yeah, but like an assassin droid, like IG-88, needs to be able to extend his arms, right? So good. Like, well, it's a way of distinguishing between a protocol droid and an assassin droid.
Great pull on IG-88. He's
good one. But Seth, with that logic, why give him arms in the first place? That's right. I'm suggesting we rip C-3PO's arms off.
Well,
again. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Every movie has done that.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, the last little bit. They're getting their detective awards, and then we have a few quips or goofs or whatever. And then we goof our way to an original 80s theme song.
Holy shit. Seth, you have seen this movie. I swear to God.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Oh, and that is the end of my bullshit movie.
Yeah, well, we can stop right here because that's Armed and Dangerous. You did it.
More or less.
That's the whole thing.
For once, it'll be nice to hear someone else get accused of cheating.
Yeah, that's true. It is usually Lee. Yeah, that's amazing. So, I mean, I guess the conceit here is buddy cop movies, especially 80s buddy cop movies.
Uh-huh.
There's only one way through it. One path, and that's, you did it.
Yeah.
The movie did it.
There's like an evident villain, and then there's the not evident villain who ends up being the real villain.
Yep.
So it's the one thing that I remember really liking this movie, because it's a movie that my dad really liked, and we watched it all the time, whenever it was on TV.
Yep.
Looking back now, knowing who the people in this movie are, how do you cast Eugene Levy as a straight man?
Oh, what?
Well, I mean,
I guess he's kind of a straight man in American Pie as well, like, when he got
older. Yeah, like, later in his career, he became more a straight man, I feel.
Yeah.
Or I guess, is currently, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the hell Eugene Levy is doing with his life.
Well, he often plays that, like, whoa, let's be careful, I don't know what's going on, like, that guy. Like, he does that a lot.
More recently, that's for sure, yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, John Candy is also a straight man for some reason.
In, like, In what?
In this movie. They're both straight men.
How can you have a buddy comedy with two straight men?
Well, they pulled it off, because they did it. I mean, it exists.
I don't know if Candy's like... I mean, Candy's definitely, of the two, Levy is the straight man, I would say. If you had to pick. Anyway, whatever.
Okay, so...
Should we give the
this...
short summary?
Yeah.
Well, what is the IMDb summary?
I've got it pulled up here. A fired cop and a useless lawyer sign up as security guards and find they've joined a corrupt union.
Which doesn't make it sound very much like your movie, but boy, it was. Oh, boy.
All right.
Yepers.
Okay, so I have a three-word summary. I don't know if Lee...
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess to preface, this is my favorite part of the movie and could sum the whole thing up. Candy in drag.
Oh.
How do we feel about that?
Okay. Interesting. So we should talk about this. So when I was watching this, I mentioned to Zach, I really remember liking this movie. I'm really hoping that nothing really offensive pops up that I don't remember.
Yeah.
And then I was scanning through the file that I had to see how the quality was, and I immediately landed on John Candy in very over-the-top, like, borderline divine.
I was going to say, he looks... he could be divine. Like, could be. Yeah. It's amazing.
John Candy as if he were in a John Waters film?
Yeah. Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Eugene Levy as a leather daddy.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Huh. Friend of the show, Eva, suggested that we make the show's new email address Eugene Levy Leather Daddy 69.
I like
Hold
it.
Hold on, doing it right
I
now.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Eugene Levy shows full ass in that scene, too.
He does.
That is something the fans have just been clamoring about.
So it's tough, the drag and the Leather Daddy stuff. They don't handle it terribly, but they don't handle it well. Like,
they
it borders on being good.
So basically, in this particular scene, they're on the run because they're being hunted down by mobsters. And they go into a sex shop and they convince two people to switch clothes with them.
Sure.
And they don't, like, mock the people who they're getting the clothes from.
Right,
all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
but
well, that's...
Then the people who are chasing them run into them when they're all dressed up, and they, of course, they don't recognize them.
Of course, yeah.
John and, fucking Candy, yeah.
And the thing that I worry is, like, really, like, that is pretty upsetting is then John Candy and Eugene Levy do, like, gay man voices, but in the style of how a middle schooler would do a gay man voice.
Sure,
yep.
Right.
Yep.
And that doesn't surprise me at all. What, if I may ask, what year was this?
I think it's 1986.
The year of 86. Our Lord, 1986, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What? Okay.
As opposed to any other. All right.
They were pulling it off, and then they do like the really over the top like gay stereotype from the 90s voice, and it's just like come on.
Yeah, that's kind of shitty,
but I mean it was the 80s. Like, for the 80s, I think this is pretty good, honestly.
There is a pretty solid gag later when they're still in these outfits where Eugene Levy and John Candy are like formulating a plan to stop the bad guys, and they call up Meg Ryan, who's going to help them. And he's like, we need to get the truck to this place. And then, and she's like, I don't know where that is. And he goes, well, let me see the map. And Eugene Levy's like, no, no, no. And he's like, okay, fine. So then Eugene Levy bends over because he has the map covering his ass. And it's like, here. And he's poking him in the butt. And it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. All right.
You had to see it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I feel like that. That is true.
So full plot of this movie real quick is
Well, I have a foreword summary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anti-unions, pro-guns.
Ooh.
It is the
most Reagan movie I could ever
imagine. I was going to say that sounds super Reagan. Man,
they really do fucking shit on unions. Like everybody in the union is like the worst piece of shit in this movie.
There are in this comedy movie, there are multiple scenes in which Eugene Levy files union grievances and gets shot down by mobsters.
They walk into the union meeting, and I forget if it's Levy. I think it's Levy. Maybe it's Candy. And he goes, oh, that fucker knows where Jimmy Hoffa is buried, which is, you know, fun.
That is a, yep.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting, especially because I assume John Candy and Eugene Levy are both in, like, the SAG? Screenwriter's Guild or SAG or whatever, right? So... Yeah. Is this just a play in Peoria or
Buffalo? Peoria? Is there like a Canadian comedic actor thing where they don't join unions? I don't know. Like,
weird.
I don't think that's true. I'm pretty sure there's no options.
I mean, Lucas isn't in the Directors Guild.
No, that's true.
Yeah, but he's a weirdo though. Yeah.
He is a weirdo.
Yeah.
So full plots, Zach.
Where's Robert Loggia? Where's Meg Ryan?
Yeah, so
exactly where you expected them.
Yeah, you called it.
Okay. Meg is not the big bad.
Yeah, Meg is okay, and Loggia's the big bad, but
of course he is. So, of course he is.
Candy is a cop, gets framed, gets fired. Eugene Levy is a terrible lawyer, quits lawyering. Mm-hmm. They both show up.
Same day in court, they both like
they bump into each other
naturally.
So I actually had this written down. So Eugene Levy goes in to like defend this weird neo-Nazi guy. He's like clearly a Charles Manson figure.
Yes, yeah, and, absolutely.
Yeah,
oh, don't like that.
Yeah, and so he's like obviously not a great lawyer, and he walks up to the judge and he's like, "He told me he's gonna kill me. Can we just like do something to plea this?" And the judge basically tells him like, you're terrible at this and you shouldn't be a lawyer, and he quits apparently. Like he's in his 40s, he's been a lawyer for 15 years at least, like
if you promise to find another line of work and plead your client guilty, I will give him a prison sentence so long that he won't be able to hurt you.
And Eugene Levy just goes
okay,
so, yeah. So anyway, they now are both in need of jobs. They show up at this like real bullshit security guard school.
Yeah, like a temp agency sort of situation.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, they graduate in one afternoon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Takes one day. Meg Ryan is the well-meaning daughter of the founder of this school, so they get in with her because she's like good at it, but sort of like, you know, the young hot blonde or whatever.
Oh sure. Can we talk about their uniforms?
Oh yeah, so they're very red. Yes, also, these are all security guards that got trained in a day, and they all get guns, which I don't think that's ever been a thing.
He's very pro gun.
Very lot of guns in this movie.
That sounds a little bit like some of our Second Amendment rights somehow.
Yeah, well, it's the '80s, and back to the uniforms. I think what you're gonna say is male versus female, but I don't know. That was what I noticed.
No,
the ladies wear like flight attendant skirts, and it's very weird.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. What I was gonna say is the uniforms are incredibly garish. Like they're burgundy blazers, with khaki trim, pinstripes and stuff.
Are they meant to be like pseudo Soviet sort of situations?
I don't think so, because they're cut like were Soviet like suit jackets cut really high like a lady's suit jacket.
No. I think that was just the 80s, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that was just the
80s were all about... I've seen Stop Making Sense. I know that the 80s, they all wore very oversized suits.
Yeah, fair.
That's true. Stop Making Sense is the hallmark. It's yeah. The...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess so they both get assigned to their first job. It's in a warehouse owned by Robert Loggia. It's a pharmaceutical company or something.
Hey, doesn't matter. Yeah. I mentioned that.
Yep. So then it gets robbed and they...
You forgot to mention who their like boss is. It's Tiny Lister.
Oh, yeah. A very young Tiny Lister, yeah.
Yeah, so he like conspicuously like... forces them to go on a break at a specific time.
Yep.
And Eugene Levy goes out to the car to get his lunch, and he happens upon a robbery.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Naturally.
So there's a lot of...
my guys bumbled into things, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a buddy cop movie. You have to. Like, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
So then they're going to get, like, fined because they let this happen or whatever, and so they go to file a grievance with the union. And the union's like, fuck off, like, just pay the fine. And then this is when they put it together that, like, maybe the union guys are behind all this shit.
Jonathan Banks from Breaking Bad and season 4 and 5 of Community is the enforcer for the union.
With way more hair. Tons of hair.
Well, that makes sense to me. That dude is frightening.
Yeah, and is in this, yeah. So then the rest of the movie is them, you know, they team up with Meg Ryan, and it's basically like, let's take down Robert Loggia, and there's a big chase scene, and eventually they get him. That's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah. And one of the other subplots is that her father like is indebted to Robert Loggia because he helped him found the company.
So yeah, he's super corrupt. He paid for the
But then at the end, her father like has a change of heart, and he's like, I'm gonna help them stop him. So
yep. Yeah, so, yeah, it's kind of the whole deal.
I gotta be honest, guys, your movie sounds kind of shitty.
it's totally fine.
So I was as soon as the movie started, so there's a cold open in this. John Candy pulls up to a house.
Yes.
A little girl waves him down, and I thought it was his daughter or something, but no, he pulls up, and there's a cat in a tree, and the little girl, yeah, it's like classic, right? Little girl's like, please go get my cat. He's like, I'm a big guy, whatever. And then, like, he eventually climbs the tree. And the entire payoff of this, like, 6-minute scene is he gets to the top and looks down and goes, like, it's funny because he's afraid of heights.
And the fire department has to come get him down.
Yeah. This is, like, literally 6 minutes. And I was like, God damn, like, in the beginning of a 2000s era comedy, like, somebody has to die, or, like, a hooker shows up, or, like climbing a tree is not fucking cutting it anymore. Like, the bar was very low for comedy.
Sure.
Before,
I would like to point out, that scene kind of ties into Seth's movie, too, because that is the first occurrence of the all-synth movie theme song for Armed and Dangerous.
Bespoke movie theme song, yes.
Yeah.
Armed and Dangerous.
Yeah. It's not bad. Beautiful. Like, it's pretty okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, the kitty is really cute. So
the kitty is screaming and adorable, yes.
The kitty casting was top notch.
It was. Yeah. Snuggles did a bang up job.
lot of like goofs that happen, you know, like there's dumb security guards that they play for laughs, and there's the big like climax is they Meg Ryan and Eugene Levy get the arm. So the Robert Loggia was going to embezzle the pension fund. He gets it converted to cash.
Oh, I was just going to say never trust a socialist, but...
Yeah, well.
Actually, they were mostly shitting on Italians. Like, Robert Loggia does the whole, like, men a gut, and then he says, like, Italian swear words and shit.
Yeah.
They really did... Yeah, not fans of Italians
into it.
Or unions.
That's Robert Loggia's M.O., isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, just kind of shit on Italians somehow, magically, and...
Yeah, yeah.
By extension, socialists? I don't know. I don't know what happens. Yeah.
So anyway, they the principal from Back to the Future plays the guy who, like, is in charge of the union's money, and he's like, you can't do this to me. Like, it's going to look like I robbed us.
Did Strickland ever have hair?
He did not in this movie. No, he did not.
All right. Nice.
High five. The whole plan is they converted the pension fund to cash, and they're going to have the armored truck get robbed. Robert Loggia kills Strickland, and then frames John Candy and Eugene Levy for it.
Right.
As you do.
And then Meg Ryan and Eugene Levy end up driving the armored truck, and John Candy is supposed to, like, cut them off and save the day, but his motorcycle breaks down, and he has to hitch a ride with a crazy trucker. And they get stuck in this traffic jam. Yeah, Holland rocket fuel. Yeah.
As they go into a gunfight.
Yeah.
Is this crazy trucker played by the same guy who played Snowman in Smokey and the Bandit?
It is really not, sadly, no. But I feel like he was channeling him a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's this sequence of John Candy during a traffic jam trying to commandeer vehicles over and over again, and no one will give him their car. And then this guy finally is like, all right, like he gets in the cab of the truck and goes, I'm just going to say this once. I need to get to this place or else two wonderful people are going to die. And he just goes, okay. And he fucking plows his truck through what had to be miles of a traffic jam. Yep. Like cars are getting flipped over. Cars are exploding.
This is some...
The body count is absurd.
Some Blues Brothers style, like car destruction bullshit, right?
Exactly. Yep.
And like this leads to the truck explodes with them in it, but they're fine.
Yeah, naturally.
And then
it's a comedy.
John Candy pulls out he says this is a .50 caliber handgun, and then he shoots it at the bad guys, and it does not kick even a little bit.
Nope. No gun kicks in this movie. Yep.
That's confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then at the end, the trucker's like, man, Slim, I would love to get a gun like that. And he just hands it to him. No paperwork, nothing. Just hands it to him.
Well, freedom.
It was the 80s, depending on the state. I mean, even up to the 2000s, not that bad.
There's a joke when he pulls that gun out and John Candy, he goes like, that's a real big handgun. And John Candy goes, oh, it's only legal in 2 states and this isn't one of them.
Yep. It's like an old Wild West gun, too. It's very silly.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. More or less a movie that has a bunch of jokes and is ostensibly a comedy, but isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of serious in it. I don't know. So I haven't watched a lot
Eugene
of John Candy.
Oh, Eugene Levy and John Candy at the end. John Candy gets reinstated, and then they're like, Eugene Levy, do you want to be his partner? And he's like, no. And John Candy goes, yes, you do. And then they're partners.
Yep.
That's not how jobs work.
Nope. Especially police ones.
Yeah. Oh, and then Eugene Levy and Meg Ryan get together at the end.
Yeah, I was wondering with whom the romantic subplot was.
There's very little romantic subplot. Yeah. But it's... Because, like, I guess it's kind of refreshing that at the end she's just like, hey, call me. I like you.
Yeah.
Oh.
She is sexualized, but, like, not as much as you would guess in a movie like this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene Levy's obviously awesome. I hadn't seen a lot of John Candy stuff. I think I was just a little bit too young and, like, never went back, but...
I love John Candy.
Yeah, he's great in this. Like, he's very endearing. I get, like, the whole thing. And, like, even though this movie was kind of meh, like, the combo of those two, I think, carried it quite a bit. Like, it was enjoyable. Mm-hmm.
Did they forecast any variety of bobsled themed shenanigans?
No.
Not to my knowledge. No.
Not even like a gentle steel drum in the background.
No. Oh, kind of. So they go. They go to a club together, like on their off hours on one scene. And Tito Puente and his band are performing.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about
Tito Puente. All right.
They never even reference that it's Tito Puente. They just show him and then they pan over.
Yeah, that is very weird. Very
what
nerd.
A what a weird cameo to have.
There's no, it doesn't say Tito Puente on like the bandstand or the drum. No one mentions that it was Tito Puente. Nope. Like it just doesn't. Yeah,
very weird. Yeah.
Well, seems about right.
The we've been talking about how this movie is sort of formulaic and like all buddy cop movies are.
Mm-hmm.
As I was watching this, I was like, man, they're still making this fucking movie. Like, there's a lot of them. And then I Googled for maybe, well, I remembered as many as I could and then Googled for maybe 90 seconds. Here's a list of movies that follows basically this same sort of theme.
Okay.
So it's like goofball losers somehow like magically solve crimes by accident.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. The Other Guys.
Other Guys, Paul Blart Mall Cop. Chips, Let's Be Cops, The Heat, Pain and Gain, all the Rush Hour movies, 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, and the and that was literally like a minute of just remembering this. And that, I mean,
I think I watched it on an airplane.
Right.
Guys, maybe we should add this to the list and bleep that out.
Bleep all of those?
All those movies?
No, no, just
the last one? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's very bad. It's very, very bad.
It does have crazy actors in it, which you would not expect. So, sure. Bleep all this out, Zach.
Okay, will do. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It strikes me as you're reading that list, I like a whole lot of those movies.
I know, that's what I was thinking too. Like I remembered most of those and I was like, yeah, I'd watch most of those again. Like it's a good thing. Like it ain't broke. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yep. I can see that.
Yeah. I guess the last thing I had about this, I think my favorite scene was they go to get information from this former thief. Mm-hmm. Turned fisherman, I guess.
Yep, he's retired. He's just, yeah, he's retired. He's just hanging out.
Oh, okay, sure. So they're down on the docks, and John Candy sees a fishing pole, and he's like, "Can I get in on that?" And the guy's like, "Sure." He immediately catches something. It turns out to be a huge shark. He, in obvious comedic fashion, gets tangled up in like 1,000 other people's poles. There's just like there's like 4 dudes and like 1,200 fishing poles for no reason.
Yeah, of course.
he gets panicked. He pulls out his gun and just blindly shoots into the water a bunch. Somehow kills the shark, and then smash cut to him standing next to this like 9-foot shark.
Posing then, with his gun and shit,
And then they move on to the next scene. Like, it's just the most throwaway bullshit that could possibly exist.
The scene where Eugene Levy and John Candy get stuck in a sauna. Like, all of these scenes are just throwaway moments that don't matter.
Yep. Huh. It's all just, like, dumb goofs.
I feel like half of my movie is also that, though. Right, yeah, I didn't.
It's
describe
because you wrote
them?
A formulaic cop movie.
Yeah. Hey, I know what Peoria wants.
Peoria is staunchly in favor of these movies.
Yeah, sure.
It's got a formula, Gotta follow it. Yeah. I don't know, Lee. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm done. I got nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah, we beat it to death. It's a very simple movie, but it's All right, Lee, you want to lead off the ratings?
Yeah, my rating is if it's on TV, put it on. It's totally fine. Like a 6. It's like a 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so IMDb 5.6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which seems kind of low. I mean, I guess IMDb didn't come out till well after this movie had
It's a nondescript mid-80s comedy. Like,
this movie better than The Conjuring?
100%. Yes.
Well, I haven't watched that one, but I assume yes.
Yes.
Wait,
it's better than Insidious.
Yeah. Okay, there's no ghosts, so that's good.
Oh. Yeah, that's a plus.
Oh, man. It's good to be in November, boys.
Oh, fucking, it really is. It really is.
I give the like real movie a 6. Seth, I'll give you a 6.2. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I like this kind of movie. I enjoy this kind of movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Would more octopodes make my rating higher?
Always.
Are you
yes.
suggesting that I should push it to an 8?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, yes, I am.
Yeah. What the fuck? You get an 8. You get an 8.
Hey.
Yeah. Must be the money.
Yeah. Lee's a cheap date. yeah. So for regular Armed and Dangerous. I would say, like, 5.6 on IMDb seems low, honestly. Like, I'd say, like, a solid 6, 6.5, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, it is definitely, mm-hmm. like, if it's on in the background, fantastic.
It's a movie whose ceiling is, like, 6.5, and I think it gets very close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, Seth, I'm going to go a bit higher. I'd say, like, a 7 for that, because it had plot to it. Like, they sort of, like, tried to put some plots in this one and then just, like, mm-hmm. forgot about them or, like, you know, just sort of cast them off.
Well, sure. You know what? You know what bonus points? Seth's movie gets bonus points for not being anti-union. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, a little bit of anti-union is funny, but they laid on it so heavy it was, like, propaganda. Yeah, it was too much.
Yeah, it was... Mm-hmm.
Spoken like a true capitalist.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
No, I think, like, again, thinking of these movies that are very similar, you wrote a more current-day version of this movie where,
sure.
Where you would have to have actual plot and, like, the villain thing is a twist and whatever. Like, in the real one, we know who the villain is the whole time, and it's like, there's nothing surprising at all. So
mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. so, you know, the reason for that is because I don't live in 1986.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, fair. Very fair.
I've looked into it. We exist in the present.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. As far as we can tell.
Yeah. I'm sure that some scientist is going to come on and say that we live in a hologram or some bullshit.
I hear there's dimensions that we can't experience, but prove it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Calling out all scientists. Uh-huh.
Come on. This has been... Theoretical physicists.
This has been Denier Watch, I guess. I don't know. Like, what do we... Like... What happened?
Yeah. There's only 3 dimensions, and the Earth is fucking flat, so piss off.
Yep. Time is bullshit.
Nope. I don't experience it. I live in the present.
Yeah, I don't believe in time.
Yep. Alright.
Alright. Well, are we done? We're done.
So, next week... Yeah, that's when... Mm-hmm. We're doing...
Next week we have our dear friends... Jim and Kev, they're going to tag team The Good Son.
Yep.
Yeah.
Should be good.
The Good Son, who...
A movie that was never not on Fox when I was a child.
Yeah. One of the lead actors in that is my doppelganger. So,
but which one? The heroine one or the one who looks like you?
We'll never know. Comment on the WordPress if you have any guesses. You got a 50-50 shot.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, back to basics. Seth did it best this time. Really did.
He certainly did.
Yep.
Some people say, but no one can believe, Seth did it best.
Perfect. Nailed it. All right, that'll do
it. Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, watch that world. It's faking movies time.
Oh, that's way better. Oh,
all right, man. Maybe we'll cut there.
Fuck y'all.